And you are tuned in to the Hagmann Report for this Tuesday, July 15, 2025. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. Randy Taylor is sitting in the, he's riding shotgun with me today. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. You know, what we tried to do is, analyze what's taking place right now. And I'll tell you something. If you are paying attention to the news, it's difficult at best to really assess everything that's going on domestically, internationally, and make judgments according to your assessments or what's taking place. But we're beginning in a lot of things. You know, what is on your mind? Folks, tell me in the chat, tell us in the chat, what's on your mind, what you think is important in your life in terms of the news, whether domestic or international, which you think is really something that you've got to keep your eyes on or you want more information about. And while you're doing that, also subscribe to us on Rumble. Please do that. Just click the follow button. You might have to create an account. I don't know. And if you do, it's really no big deal. And give us a thumbs up if you think we deserve it. So with me right now is Randy Taylor, and you can contact him directly, rt@hagmannpi.com. And you can follow him on X, formerly known as Twitter. Everything's in the program description box at hagmannpi.com, as well as on Rumble. Not the show notes, that's only at hagmannpi.com, but the his email address, mine, and where you can send tips and what have you. And by the way, this past weekend was the first anniversary of the attempted assassination and murder that took place in Butler, Pennsylvania. We might be talking about that. In fact, I if possible, and I don't know, I haven't talked to Eric about this, but if possible, RT, you and I, maybe tomorrow, if you're available, we can talk about it. I don't even know if you are available, but
I will make myself available, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, come on board and join me, won't you?
Hey there.
There's a lot of stuff going on, and in anticipation for tonight's show, I thought of this title: is trust no one and think for yourself.
I will go with that.
Yeah. Do you think? I mean, isn't that where we're at right now?
I think that we absolutely, it's almost like you have to be there.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything that's going on, Doug, it's too much. And honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
This puzzle, this is one of those great big floor puzzles you get on and start, you know, trying to figure it out. This is a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah, there is so much conflicting information. This yesterday, in my free time and throughout the weekend, I was trying to get people on the phone that I know are working in the background in different positions, whether it's at the White House or at the Southern White House, shall we say, Mar-a-Lago. And trying to get some answers about what is really taking place. For example, the Pam Bondi Department of Justice versus Dan Bongino, or vice versa. And there's just a lot of stuff that's going on right now. And the information I got essentially says, look, man, there are a whole crap ton of problems, even today. So even if you hear, for example, other conservative talk shows and influencers saying everything's pretty well okay, it's not. And one of the things that really jarred me in RTI, you can comment on this, is it's almost as if I got the feeling in one conversation, I got the feeling that Donald Trump does not know, or knows but does not know the full extent of the fracturing of the MAGA base. And I say MAGA base, call it whatever you want, okay? But the supporters, the reason he got elected into office.
Yes, the only reason he got elected into office.
And it doesn't extend just, it's not just about the Bundy FBI situation, the Epstein files, for example. It's just not about that. It's about all of the, it's about everything. And the one name that kept coming up over and over again in that one conversation was Susie Wiles. And of course, that's the chief of staff, you know, ice woman, they call her. And I just have a feeling, like the last time and like other presidents as well, there's not a lot of information that he's getting or allowed to get. Again, I'm not sure how to frame this, but I'm very concerned about this. RT, what are you seeing that concerns you? Whether it's about this or whatever. Go ahead.
A number of things. One, we've always felt that he was an anti-globalist. We were under that impression, absolutely. One, but go back. We talked about this the other night, the election. The election that night came in too fast for me. When for the last couple of elections, you know, they've been forever counting votes. I mean, weeks afterwards, literally, you know, still counting it would mail-in ballots and this and that, drive-in, drop-off ballots. But, you know, we got the election news fairly early this time, and it was, you know, bam. Right away.
It was early and decisive, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Like, almost too early, Doug.
Yeah, yeah.
And then right away with the globalist nature talk. And I was just basing that on years and years and years ago, Alex Jones talking about the North American.
Right. Well, the North American Union.
Territory or whatever.
Yeah.
The union. You know, and it was going to be basically Greenland, Canada, the U.S., and possibly Mexico. I don't remember if they were that far on, but I think Mexico was involved in it.
And Mexico, U.S., Canada. And there were some maps that had Greenland. Yeah. But again, there were several different iterations of maps or types of maps. But go ahead. Yeah.
And then the eyeballing there that he gave the wink to the company to buy the Panama Canal.
Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah,
that was like, boom.
And again, we're recapping all of this, but go ahead.
A huge globalist company at that.
Yeah.
You know, and just he's sending arms to Ukraine.
And this is another thing, folks, if you haven't heard about this, he's not. He is actually allowing arms to be shipped to NATO. Ukraine is not part of NATO, but ultimately the arms are going to the weapons and munitions and such. The aid will end up in Ukraine's hands.
And he's not pulling any punches about it. It's like they said straight up, because there was a little bit of a kerfuffle because there had been a pause put on it. And there was, that was in the news about a week ago, week and a half ago. There was a pause on it, and he wasn't even aware of the pause, but the point is, shipping to Ukraine, that was something that we didn't want. That's that was part of this whole package of getting Donald Trump into office and everybody busting their hump to get Donald Trump into office. Then we've got this whole deal with the Epstein. Listen, those people that were abused, we owe it to them. They're owed.
And, the victims, absolutely.
And if for no other reason, that needs to be disclosed. And don't tell me there wasn't a client list, okay? Because there was a client list. We know there's a client list. They had flight logs. They said someone actually laid eyes on the notebook that was the client list. That leaked out. So we know it's there.
It was actually the methodology of the schedule was published by the, of all places, in the Wall Street Journal back in the I think it was 2014. Mm-hmm. And I want to show you, well, before I get into that, let's stop here a minute and talk about the Epstein, the entire Epstein thing. And people are so, look, I'm getting tired of talking about it. Okay, I really am. And I can imagine others listening to it. However, here's the point. Mark Mitchell made a great point today. This is cut three. It's 1 minute and 37 seconds long. The title of this clip, it's not about the list. It's about trust. Again, that propelled me to write that. The title, Trust No One, Think for Yourself. This is cut three, a minute, 37 seconds. And this, to me, really says everything that we need to say very succinctly in terms of the Department of Justice, Pam Bondi, Susan Wiles as the chief of staff, and so on. So after this, I want you to weigh in on this after we play it. This is cut three in the show notes. And for show notes, folks, simply go to HagmanPI.com, click on the title for today's show. For some reason, the panels that we select for the show, like side by sides and stuff like that, are not grabbing from Rumble. I don't know why. So it's just the standard photograph. So you'll have to look at the title or look at the episode number and then just click on that. And underneath that are all of the links. And they're all important. So, I would urge everyone to do that. So here's cut three, a minute, 37 seconds. Well worth it. Mark Mitchell, here it is.
And listen, this is not about the list. People don't want to see the list. The reason they're asking the list is because they don't trust the FBI anymore to do investigations. This is the FBI that under Biden, a majority of people said was Joe Biden's personal Gestapo. And so this is the part that I don't think the Trump administration appreciates. This was an election. People say, oh, it's the economy. No, it was an election about institutional trust and the death of the American dream. But 30% trust the federal government. Strong majority think the DOJ was weaponized. 72% are concerned we're living in a police state. We have these numbers over and over again. And a really big one, how important is the rule of law, ensuring public officials are held to the same standard of justice as other citizens? 94% important, 82% very important. That's as close as it gets to 100. You wouldn't see somebody like oxygen wouldn't even get 82% very important. So this idea of two-tier justice is just absolutely an anathema to people, and we're going to be talking about it. That's the problem. And how do they get rid of this? They have an $11 billion a year Federal Bureau of Investigation. Where are the investigations? Just because we have new people at the head of these administrations is not enough to restore public trust. The trust in these institutions was destroyed under Biden. It takes extraordinary transparency, in my opinion, to give that back, that trust back to voters. You can't just say nothing to see here. It's, trust me, bro, is not going to work to restore trust.
Reminds me of that Billy Joel song, It's a Matter of Trust, or mm-hmm. I think that was the name of it. But go ahead.
You know, absolutely. And we have lost our trust in the government. We didn't look at it. Remember the entire time Biden was office, it was in office, how we analyzed everything. Yeah. So people like us, and people like you, our people in our chat, people are more analytical now than they ever were when it comes to examining the White House and what comes out of it. But we still have a huge chunk of people that are MAGA, that are MAGA like in a blind faith. Is that a good terminology?
I would say, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Blind faith, following blindly.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You shouldn't. Everyone is accountable. Everyone is expendable. And we're not seeing that. We're not. Some people are just too blind. That's where Elon Musk came up with this. You know, he sees the split. And he thought he was going to capitalize on it. Now, of course, he doesn't have enough to do anything like that. But these are bad areas for Trump to be in, for President Trump to be in.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's on with some people on thin ice. Because you can't sit there and talk about something that exists and then suddenly say it doesn't exist. That's a trust factor.
We know it exists, and it's been published. Various aspects have been published before. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, folks, I would urge you to turn your attention, if you're listening to this or watching this or whatever, turn your attention to the screen. I want to show everyone something here. There's this in the show notes. This is page 3. And it's really more than one page. I believe it's 31 pages. But this is page 3 in the show notes. The title is Jeffrey Epstein Never Stopped Abusing Women, and His VIP Circle Helped Make It Possible. Now, again, this is published, 2 years ago? Not quite 2 years ago. And there is the article. Now, it's available by way of archive. You'll have to... Well, I made it easy for you and just linked to the archive. So if you scroll down on this article, and it's probably not the best. I don't know if people can read this or not, but it doesn't matter, because what's important here is this. Let me just get to it myself. Okay. Here it is right here. Let's see. If you scroll down on this article, below the photographs of Bill Gates, below the second photo or the photograph of Epstein, keep going down. I want to show you this. Keep going. When the print gets big, there you go. Stop right there. A year of Epstein's calendar. Now, this is published again in 2023. In the Wall Street Journal. And it reads, in 2015, Jeffrey Epstein's schedules showed dozens of meetings and flights with young women in their late teens and 20s, often identified by their first names only. Many were on the same days, plural, as the convicted sex offenders planned meetings with business people, celebrities, and others. Okay, so right there, does that not suggest that that you would have an appointment book, for lack of a better descriptive term, right?
Yeah. Okay. Some sort of social calendar.
Correct. All right. Now, if you want to scroll down just a tad more, there it is. Epstein's meeting schedule for 2015. Man, I'll tell you what, if we have to do the work of the Department of Justice, what can we say? So in yellow, young women. In gray, or whatever color that might be, other people. And then you've got half gray, half yellow. A circle essentially cut in half with two colors start at the same time. And this example from January shows a mixture of meetings. So if you follow that legend, that key, one meeting, one day of meetings, meetings start 8 a.m. and it goes through 5 p.m. in this particular case. And then if you scroll down below that, so that on the top is the legend. Now, remember, this is 2015. This is from a calendar, an appointment book from 2015. The first day of the month is at the top, and it goes down. There are 12 columns for, you know, one column per month. And then there are the various days, and those would be the months would be the y-axis, and the days would be the x-axis. But regardless, there it is. It's all there for you. And all you have to do is match up those colors with the appointment book or the on that day, who was Epstein meeting with? Now, who was handling this? It wasn't Epstein, it was Maxwell. And this makes much more sense when you think that Maxwell was running the show. Epstein was, the top tier manager, but Maxwell was actually running the show and creating the schedule. And she was also procuring the victims. I'm not going to say clients, or I'm not going to say they're victims. And then, of course, arranging the meetings with the various individuals that the victims would be, well, that the young girls or boys would be victimized by. So below that, it shows meetings shown also include calls and flights. The source of this investigative piece, or this particular part of the investigative piece, is Kara DePina from the Wall Street Journal. And this is worthy of a read, okay, and understand. I mean, this is lengthy, but this shows right here that, hey, these exists. Yeah. There was recruitment. There were activities.
This was organized.
Or very organized. So go ahead. Because we're going to even go deeper than this. Okay. But what do you think seeing this? And then contrast that against what Blondie said, and frankly, what Trump said, that, hey, you know, let's move on. Yeah. Okay, so wait a second. We can't have it both ways. What do you think?
To me, they're lying.
Damn right, they're lying.
Plain and simple, they're lying, because you cannot have all of this. You cannot have the witnesses and the young lady that's the other thing. This young lady, they say, killed herself in April.
Right. Right.
I'm not buying it.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not. No. I am not buying this, and I don't give a damn what names are on that list. They need to release the information they have, just like they need to release the information with the slush fund for the legislative houses of the United States of America that pay off victims and people in sexual scandals. This has got to stop. This cannot be the way business is done in politics. We've got to stop this. This has to stop.
But you know, this is the way political business has been done for decades.
This is like ancient Rome, Doug.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good point.
This is insane. And Rome fell. Keep it up.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I cannot believe. And then for this blonde chick to get up there and say, this does not exist. Oh, there was nothing in the file. Really? You can't tell me when it hit your desk you didn't look at it. You're a liar if you say you didn't. She's lying.
Well,
to sit there and say, it's on my desk. Don't tell me you didn't look at it. It's the hottest thing in America.
And when you look at Blondie, you look at her, who she, in the past, what her and current connections are, what they were and what they are, you can perhaps see that the situation would not require, but compel her, I suppose, not to dig further. But you know, the buck stops with President Trump.
Yeah. Because she's taking her orders from him.
Right. And, you know, the justification about, well, the Department of Justice doesn't really answer to President Trump. The hell it doesn't.
Yeah, that's a lie. That is a lie. Yeah. Unfortunately, but it is a lie.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
And so, we're calling, ladies and gentlemen, we're calling it out like it is. If they're lying, we're calling them liars. That's it.
Exactly. And we have to, because otherwise we would not be true to ourselves or to you, the listener and viewer. I'm not going to be a yes man, but see, remember back when we talked about the creation of like a conservative consortium of influencers. That's what this is all about. They are looking, and look, they're looking for yes people. They're looking for people to just to regurgitate the vomit.
Have you noticed the influencers? Those people are coming out now and speaking out against folks like us without naming our names, but people that have turned on Donald Trump. That's what we're being accused of. No, we're not turning on Donald Trump. We just want the truth. That's all we want. We haven't turned on anybody. We put the guy in the White House. We, the people.
That's right.
We have a right to know, Doug. We have a right to know.
We would not be true to our calling, nor would we be true to the people listening and watching if we didn't do this. Because it's, boy, how easy is it I trust Donald Trump. Well, you know, to an extent I do too, but we have to verify. And when he goes off the rails like that, we have to say, wait a second, this is not.
And it is on record on this show that we said before the election that we were pushing for Donald Trump to be in the office. But if we found out that he was anything like the people that are in the office now, that we were going to call him out. We said it on this show. We were very clear on this show before the election that, yes, we were 100% for Donald Trump, but he had to do the job or we were going to call him out on it. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We got some questions. We're calling him out on it.
And this, again, this is not about the Epstein clients, although it is. I mean, we have to, again, the victims.
I want to know the clients that are important enough that you would withhold the list.
Right.
That's what I would like to know. Little pipsqueaks at the end of the list are on flight logs. I already explained on flight logs how I felt about that. One name on a flight log, one trip, really meant nothing to me. Even possibly two, if they were working them hard. And the person didn't fold, and the person didn't jump in bed with some little girl on the island. Because, I mean, a lot of people were invited down for business reasons. The guy was a hedge fund manager.
But you can't, but here's the thing. For example, Harvard University, there was a 2020 report. Epstein donated $9.1 million. Before 2008, and had visited the campus dozens of times after his conviction. Now, this is in the article in the page 3 in the show notes. Folks, again, if you want to know, if you want free information and you want to dig deeper, this investigation that the Wall Street Journal did, I've got to say.
A great starting point.
It's yes. Okay, so you mentioned about him being a hedge fund. I almost never mind, but yeah, hedge fund manager. Yeah, he was, but I don't believe
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickles.
Never mind. But see, I don't believe that's. He didn't. How did he make his money? I don't believe it was. I think that was his cover and the way
Cover. I will go with the cover. Those guys do get filthy rich because no matter whether you win or lose, they get paid.
Correct.
You know, so there's that. That's a great front. If you're going to try and run a bunch of money through, that is a great front to do it, especially if you're banking offshore.
It just made me think of something here. I got a letter today. I actually, my wife and I purchased my stepson's vehicle. And
nice ride. I like.
Yeah. Because the long story, it doesn't matter why, but I got a letter.
You were being mom and dad.
Being mom and dad. That's right. So
nothing wrong with that, buddy.
We paid a certain amount of money for it. And I got to tell you, there's some problems, you know, with the vehicle. Okay. I won't get into the problems, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm probably looking at repairs upwards of thousands of dollars anyway. So I got a letter from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania today saying that you paid X amount of dollars, the vehicle is worth this much, you owe us this much. Okay, now, and I remember sitting at the notary at the office there, going through all the paperwork, and even the notary said, well, why are you only paying X amount of dollars for the vehicle? I says, none of your effing business.
That's right.
Right to the woman. Okay.
And she says, this is like those famous $1 transactions.
Well, yeah. And it was, look,
and it's immaterial. You're right.
Exactly. This is how the system is rigged against us, including Epstein. But here's, she said, oh, but it's the Commonwealth's business. I said, okay, fine. Let me explain this to you and you can write this down, because if there's a discrepancy, needed to complete rotors, brakes, the infotainment, whatever that is, system. I don't even know what the hell that is. It was corrupted and needed work. Had to, ships, computer ships had to be replaced. I said, screw that. I ain't doing that. Actually, because he was using the vehicle to haul certain things, the believe it or not, the back seat belts were frayed. And because they were frayed, it couldn't pass inspection. To get this, the seatbelts were like $39.95, okay, from China, which they still haven't gotten here yet. They're on a slow boat from, but to install them would be about $2,000.
Insane.
Right, because they've got to take out, I mean, I don't know what they have to do. And the washer, but anyway, there's like 10 things that added up to a lot of money. So I said, here is the difference between fair market value, the book value, and what we're paying him. Exactly. And we did not cheat my steps, my son. We didn't cheat him. You know, we would never do that. And he agreed. He said, look, I was going to put this money in, but I just can't afford it and go, you know. So the reason I brought this up, so now you got Pennsylvania breathing down my neck saying, we want this money. They didn't say like, gee, is there a reason why? No. We want, you owe us this money. This is kind of how I feel with this administration right now. They want us to pay our taxes, shut up and sit down. Right.
Pay tribute.
Yeah. That was a long, now I'm thinking that was a long story for nothing. But
No. And I feel that President Trump, okay, is taking advantage of people's faith in him. You know, before, if he said something, it was gospel. And I think he's using that to his advantage. And I don't think that's fair when there are questions. I don't think you can just go, I'm Donald Trump and I said so. I'm sorry, that don't fly with me. He does that to his MAGA supporters. And ladies and gentlemen, come on. At some point you have to say, wait a minute. How can you say there's no list? How can you say, you know,
we want to know
the victim. Somewhere those little girls' names are written down.
And you know, people talk, okay, so they talk about the 18, 19-year-old girls. And to me, okay, that's not pedophilia. Oh, that's just.
We don't know that they're
weird.
We don't know that they're alive.
That's very true.
We don't know that they weren't taken down to the island and murdered with some of these sexual deviation. You know, this has been going on for forever. Some people that enjoy killing after sex.
And
killing during sex. No, this is, we're not making this up. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you know that.
Killing before sex. Okay.
And rich people, powerful people that have conquered everything else, somehow, and I'm telling you this, know it, they think that they're now qualified to take human life. That's the next thrill.
They are qualified. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that they think they're qualified.
Yes.
But that's the next thrill. Uh-huh. They conquered business. They conquered this. They went this. They did as fast as man can go. That kind of thing. Now, the next thing is, I want to know what it's like to kill someone. I'm not joking. We don't know that these little girls, because little children and young ladies and children and women are trafficked every day in this country, and many of them are killed. So don't act like that's something far out with this Epstein thing.
And some, I know that people might bristle at this and say, oh, that's not happening. There is a market for children and for people, a cannibal market, and literal cannibalism.
And organs are worth a fortune.
Organ harvesting as well, right?
You know, I mean, there is so much. There's so much that we need to know and to not to suddenly say, because why did they say before it was a matter of national security? Why did you say that for a list that doesn't exist?
Would it be? Well, that's very true. But let's stipulate just for a moment that documents exist and film exists. However, it's being hushed because of or for the purpose of national security. What does that say to you, Randy Taylor, given your experience in that venue? What does that say to you? How would that adversely impact national security?
How could it?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
It would depend who it was. How could it? It's really a matter of embarrassment. But I don't know.
Well, we had Clinton come on national TV denying that he got he received oral or had any sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky.
I didn't have sex with that one. So it kind of wrecked his presidency.
But was that a matter of national security?
No, and he was the most powerful man in the free world.
Okay. So, again,
if it's Netanyahu and they're, you know, having sex with a little girl, I don't understand how that would affect national security.
Yeah, I can't think of any way.
Thank you. When you spin it around, no matter what, right. but we were thrown that at one point.
Yes.
Earlier this year, that it was a matter of national security. Oh, and because everybody was saying, oh, you know, but release the list anyway, you know.
Right.
But like Doug just said, I can't really think. That's why it was so long thinking, because I can't really think of a way that it would hurt national security or even relations with another country. We know the people in power are perverts, a lot of them. We know that. It's not like a big mystery. Yeah. It's not like, you know, Channel 6 News. So what Doug just said, I absolutely agree. I don't know how it would affect national security, a nuclear war or anything. You know what I mean? If we found out that Putin likes 17-year-old girls, I don't think it really makes a difference in the long run at all.
Well, yes. And look, when somebody says it's complicated or I really can't tell you, because whatever follows in my view, generally speaking, is bullshit. Okay.
The old national security thing is something they always threw at you if they just didn't want to answer your question.
Very true.
There was two things that I would hear. Okay. It's confidential. Although I gave it to you. It's confidential. and it's a matter of national security. I've heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
We really can't tell you because it's not our national security.
And folks, understand this, to the listeners who are listening to this maybe for the first time, Randy Taylor, myself, we were involved in furnishing documentation to the federal government, to the FBI.
Lots of it.
And other departments. And in Randy's case, my case as well.
Jeez, we did that for like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, yeah, it was a this long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this wasn't a one-time thing.
Wait a second. No, we did it close to 10 years.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with that because I even continued out. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, we did it for a long time.
Yeah.
And this was serious data flow.
Oh, yeah.
This was no joke. This was serious. And what we were given to the FBI was turned around. And plus, you got to remember, I was feeding DHS. And this is the old ones under Bush. Okay.
But this, I'm going to tell you, it's still bad.
But not to the degree they were, say, under Biden.
Okay. Or Obama.
And we're at wartime. And honestly, and I will say this, I feel misled. I was misled.
We all were.
As the entire country was. All I knew is these little bastards flew some airplanes into buildings and killed people.
That's what we were told. That's the scenario we operated under. Right?
And they wanted to go into Iraq, and they were searching for reasons to go into Iraq. We had bin Laden pinned down in Tora Bora. These things were all happening simultaneously. That's when I jumped in the game.
Yep.
Tora Bora. And the aluminum tubes going into Iraq. I remember handing the aluminum tubes information to AFOSI in Florida outside of my office and then going to lunch with them. And I remember the guy sitting in the back seat going, oh, my God. Yeah, this has got to go today.
And how fast did that get to Colin Powell?
When he said it on TV, a short time later, I was just sitting there with my chin hanging. I was so stunned. And then everything, and then went in there. And then the more they dug, and the more and more, you couldn't find a trace of a weapon of mass destruction.
In retrospect, I suspect that perhaps not that, but maybe subsequent things, once they found out the wells in which we were dipping the pails into, they were seeding information. Would you agree with that?
I would say on some things, definitely. Put it this way, later on in retrospect, any human being that's worth a damn goes back and examines themselves.
Yes.
Okay, I do it all the time. It's one of the reasons I could stay sane in that business. Was I had to go back and I had to question myself on everything. Every night before I went to sleep, you know, I would pray and I would question myself. Because when I'd get going on the computer, I'm not a geek. I'm not a computer guy. I'm not a computer geek. But I would sit there and, because they used to say, well, how do you find this stuff? And I told them, honestly, I don't know. I call it divine intervention. So I was doing what the Lord wanted me to do. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do it because I'm not a computer guy. I mean, here I am, regular white guy running a contracting company, and I'm the top sleuth in the United States working for the FBI and the infiltration of Arabic. And these are Arabic password-protected Arabic language forums and chat rooms. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
But I was doing it.
And you could not translate. I mean, the translations from Arabic to English, English to Arabic had to be the dialect had to be correct.
Because if I read it and it came back like in perfect English, then I knew it was a seed. I knew somebody else put it there.
Right.
That was on our team.
Right.
They would do that. And I was like, even an amateur, I would think, would change up a little bit.
Yep.
But they were doing it because, I mean, we've used this example before. We would say, Doug or you or anybody in the chat room, you'd say, hey, I'm going to the store where if it came back from Arabic into English, I should say, to the store I am going.
Right.
Because they speak differently than we do. They phrase differently. But it was interesting. 7 or 8 years of that, for sure. I'm talking hardcore. A little bit after that, Doug said, I'll stretch that out to 10.
Yeah, okay. It was closer to 10, yeah. Given...
But hardcore supplying information, finding kidnapped soldiers, thwarting attack plans overseas, thwarting attack plans in the United States, Canada, and England, different places in the Western world where they would be planning something. They had the diagrams and everything laid out, and I was able to grab that kind of stuff. And then that way we could stop it. Lure people out for arrest, lure them out for a meeting in the U.S. and arrest them. Not me. I wouldn't arrest them, but I would be the one that could lure them out, and an FBI agent would pick them up.
So, yeah.
It was really incredible. And bear in mind, I'm running a construction company.
Yeah.
So you walked in my office, the front part was regular and people and salespeople and this and that and the other, and a receptionist and a secretary and boom, boom, boom. And then you went out the back door and there was a hallway, and then there was another office in the very back. And there was a lot of things going on in the very back.
And I'll just say this without any overstatement or exaggeration. I mean, we were operating with code names and numbers, with our own intelligence agencies at that time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Randy Taylor was not Randy Taylor. Okay. Randy Taylor was somebody else. Yeah. So
another name that was well known and known overseas too. Did a lot of interaction with overseas. Yep. You have to be careful. You have to be careful doing that. Because you're now dealing with a foreign intelligence agency.
And you could have got jammed up.
And I could get, if it was, I had to know where to stop.
Yep.
And that was something that, when it comes out and boom, you're right there and they need an answer because there's a pending problem. Very decisive action is time sensitive. I've got to make decisions on the fly, but at the same time, I got to be cool because that, at the end of the day, is a foreign intelligence agency.
Yeah, yeah. And as I said, we both of us, but you in particular, could have got jammed up under U.S. law.
We did. We navigated. Doug and I navigated. And we had a couple other people in our organization, but Doug and I were the forefront on that. And we navigated very well. At the same time, while we're doing this, keeping a very nice public appearance on Northeast Intelligence Network, USHomelandSecurity.com.
That was only the front end of a very, very small picture of the back end. But we had to put something out. I'm not even sure why that or how that came about, but we figured we'd drop.
Well, thank God you had things. It because that's how I met you.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I met you. I was on the web and doing, because bear in mind, I wasn't a geek. I bought a computer because they wouldn't give me a rifle.
That might be a good thing.
So I said, I'm going to fight these guys one way or another. You don't come into my country and kill my countrymen and think you're just going to walk the hell out of here. I don't think so.
And again, there's a point to all this, folks, that we're trying to make, or that we're
sorry. When we get talking about this, we really, because it was our lives. It was 24 hours a day.
We would have, and without exaggeration, without trying to upsell this, we would have major Hollywood people call us and say, "Hey, I'm going to be filming in the UK, next week. What are you seeing? What are you hearing?" I mean, people whose names you would instantly recognize. So that was because of the front end part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they could go online and find us.
Right. So anyway. Okay.
And we had to be cool too about what we would publish on the site versus what had to be turned into the government, not a word said.
And as a matter of fact, and I was the one fielding the phone calls from the government, and I think there was like a 15 second video we posted on that website on our website of an of a specific explosion. And boy, I'll tell you what, it wasn't up there more than, I don't know, 15 minutes. And the phone was ringing and they said, take it down right now. Or, you know, basically we'll take it down for you and it won't be pretty. So anyway, yeah. But okay. So if the reason too, I think that this is important is because now I feel the same as I did back then toward the end that, wait a second, the information, as we dig for information, we're finding something totally opposite of what is being presented to the American public. Okay. And that's, I think that's the reason you stopped, because you couldn't tell the good guys from the bad.
I couldn't tell who was who in the government anymore when Obama came in.
So now here we are, whether it's Epstein or whether it is the weapons to Ukraine or foreign wars, this feels a whole lot like back then.
Do you realize, and when you look at it, remember I had an information mailer I would send out every day, several times a day, with fines. Things like that pertain to different arms. And I had quite a cool list, pretty impressive list of mail recipients that worked in the government.
Yep.
That were very, very, very hardcore patriots.
I just came across a folder that had all the DHS, FBI, DOJ bulletins in that included your list.
But did you realize how many when Obama came in office, how everybody retired or quit?
Oh, it was my list, much like the blue hairs and the Trump.
My list just went. People just got out of it. Period. So I wasn't the only one that couldn't tell the good guys from the bad guys. And when they talked about arresting me, to one of my contacts in DOJ. Actually, in the DOJ, in Washington, D.C., in their building, I had a contact, and the contact called me up in a total panic and said, erase everything you've sent to me. This is what's happened. There's a new person that Obama's put in this department, and when I took him your stuff, he wanted to know who you are, because they said if you had this level of information, you had to be in Al-Qaeda.
Exactly. Yep.
This is somebody in DOJ wanted to come and arrest me,
and that was about the same time as I had without getting into the backstory, just briefly, that was the first time I've ever seen CIA credentials. CIA officer came to my house, knocked on the door, showed me the credentials. Was kind enough though to make an appointment and come in again. That was roughly the same time, and it was a little bit weird because after that my phone started acting weird, and well, you know the story. So
two clicks when you go down.
Yeah. So yeah. All right. So here we are today. Now we've got Epstein. Now we've got. We've got, oh, hey, you know what? Let's move forward. Let's not really dig into Butler too much. I mean, let's forget about that. That's history. Well, I would say that Mrs. Corey Comportori and family would beg to differ with you. I know if I was that family, I would have a problem because I've got a murdered family member. I ain't forgetting anyway. So same thing with this. Now, getting back to Epstein, I just want to point out one more thing. This, let me just, and folks, please go to HagmanPI.com after the show. The show notes will be up. And download this article. And follow through, because there's so much information here that you can actually put together a list of your own if that's what you want to do, or understand how this whole thing is, how this whole thing operates. This is, okay. So this is an article from November 3rd, 2023. Okay. A month earlier than the previous article, a month earlier than page three. And this is page two in the show notes. So if you can put up, Eric the Tech, put up page two in the show notes. This is also a link to the Wall Street Journal, again, the title of which is Inside Jeffrey Epstein's Circle. Now, when this has got a number of hyperlinks, and by clicking those, you can find the archive of the articles. Okay, so I would definitely, absolutely, definitely save these articles, save these links. This is explaining the operation, and it's very brief. It's more a compendium of links than anything else. But the Wall Street Journal investigation, using thousands of emails and scheduled uncovered new people who associated with Epstein for years after he was a convicted sex offender. Now, understand, he was convicted in Florida. And where's Pam Bondi from? Huh? Let me think. Mm-hmm. Maryland? No, Florida. But he was convicted in Florida. And of course, he got a sweetheart deal. The judge just said, hey, go, you know what? You can stay at the Super 8. And basically, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So there are links embedded within this article. For example, Epstein's private calendar reveals prominent names, including CIA chief, Goldman's top lawyer. Gee, do you think we're getting anywhere now? So the American people, all you have to do, I mean,
ladies and gentlemen, do some simple math. If this all didn't exist, why would he kill himself?
And you mentioned something early on that maybe he's not dead.
I'm thinking he's not dead. Personally, yeah. I haven't thought he was dead.
I'm thinking somebody's dead, but it's not him.
I swear to God, and I told Doug this was some time ago, right after his death, about a month after his death, I swear to God, when I was in Canada, I was pulling into a parking lot, and the guy pulling out in a Porsche was Jeffrey Epstein. I put it this way, close enough that I called Doug about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember him and a really hot chick. I remember sitting there going, when he went by, he was 6 feet from me. And I remember looking him dead in the eye, looking him right in the eye. And I swear, if he had a twin baby, I was looking at him. But it rattled my cage enough that I actually called Doug about it.
And you know, that's not something that you can call. Oh, who do you call? So folks listening or watching this, or even in the chat, if that was you, who do you call?
Yeah. I couldn't get my phone up fast enough, put it that way. I was stunned.
Right.
It's hard to usually catch me off guard. I was stunned.
Well, and that's why people say, hey, video or it didn't happen. Okay, I remember just last summer being on a surveillance and something happened. I needed to take a picture really quick. I ended up grabbing my I had a camera, a video with me, but I ended up not grabbing the video. I grabbed my phone. I knocked over the coffee. My phone went to the passenger floor. I couldn't grab it, you know. So, I mean, things happen. So don't give me that crap video or it didn't happen. Because tell me you've never worked in the field without telling me you never worked in the field. Okay. Anyway.
Nothing's flawless.
but the article from EarthTech, if you can put that back up.
I just looking at the photos of the person that was on the stretcher and who left, and there was just so much phony baloney surrounding it. The behavior of the paramedics outside, you know, out at the ambulance, just a lot of it was just show, in my opinion.
Very, very well said. Yes.
And if you think about it, why would he kill himself?
He wouldn't have.
No. Someone else killing him. Yeah, I could see that. If they were afraid he was going to talk.
But see, why is Ghislaine Maxwell, who I believe has more, obviously she had more time, but she also had more accessibility to the information, I think, than Epstein did. If you dig into this, I think the roles are flipped, and I think Maxwell is really the prize. I think that the short and dirty, in my view, is Epstein was swapped out. Whoever they swapped him out for was murdered. He didn't. That person X didn't hang himself, because you don't break a hyoid bone in three places from a hanging. That's got to be a manual strangulation, and it takes a hell of a lot of pressure to break the hyoid bone in the neck. But anyway, so okay.
And the scary part is that somewhere some guy that looked like Epstein got killed that night.
Yes, or made to look like Epstein. Yeah. Gee, you know, he needs a body double, and. What astounds me too, and this is something conversationally that I think that we need to have a conversation about this. The level of programming that exists in this country, well, throughout the world, but specifically in the U.S., is over the top. People thought MK Ultra was horrible, but guess what? It is on steroids today.
You're under it right now.
You're under it, exactly.
Soon as you get walk away from the show tonight and to flip on any television, you're already being worked on.
Yes. So, as a matter of fact, you and I, we've shown clips from. I love these guys, the behavioral panel. They're a channel on YouTube. Chase Hughes wrote. Now, Chase Hughes is a very interesting guy. He was on with Joe Rogan. I don't know when this was, but he was talking about he had a brain disease or something, and he used that methane blue or whatever it's called, with success to treat his brain disease. But aside from that, he wrote a book called The Ellipsis. I just blanked out. What was I trying to say? The Ellipsis,
The guy that was on with Rogan.
Right, Chase Hughes. But it's the most, to me, it's the most dangerous book on the planet, because it tells you about programming, how you're being programmed, but just simply by reading and reverse engineering it, you can learn how to program people yourself.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And this book was published, I think, maybe 5-6 years ago, but it was not able to be released to the public until just recently. That's my understanding, anyway. Or it could have been released back in 2020 or 2021, but it was written prior to that. I'm not 100% sure how that works, but anyway, go ahead.
No, because I think like some of these mass shootings out with the kids in the schools, I think that somewhere there's something that got to these kids, because kids just don't get up one day and say, I'm going to go kill everybody in school.
Precisely.
Now, this could be done through a game. It could be done through a website. It could be done through an adult mentor.
Gee.
You know, that's, yeah. I mean, I know
Let's
you're
think
ready
about
to say.
That for a second.
I know what you're getting ready to say.
Huh. And yeah. Hold that thought, because I want to thank this person publicly. I'm just going to give the first name of this person, if you're listening, for this email. Because I read this email, and hang on one second here. There are a few names mentioned in this email that I cannot say, but this person, it's a she, and she was dead accurate. Here it is right here. So Liz, thank you. Did I send this to you? I'm not sure. I think I did. I think I did. Anyway, she had done some research on the Butler case, and she wrote that she's a teacher, not anywhere, not Butler or anything like that, but to look toward an individual, I'm not going to name the name, as the mentor of Thomas Crooks. And when I got this, without going into much detail, you and I spoke about exactly this person, exactly that position. And
While we were sitting outside, I believe.
While we were sitting outside of the very school.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
I do recall the email now, because it matched up a lot with what we said. I got there the same. Go. I either got it from you, or she sent it to me, too.
I think I might have forwarded it to you. But the reason, again, the reason this is important is because of the mental, the MK Ultra style programming that's taking place in America today. And think about, we can also apply this to the COVID response by Americans, otherwise rational Americans. Why else would you roll up your sleeve to take something that you've got no idea what's in it and subject yourself to an experimental shot that ultimately changes your DNA or otherwise compromises your DNA and could very well kill you, or even worse? So anyway,
I was just sitting here scrolling through looking for it, but
no, that's you know what, but I'm gonna send it to you right now.
I recall reading it
again.
Okay.
I think, but Liz, thank you for this. And
Liz thinks eerily like we do.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw this.
Because we sat in the truck and talked about that.
Yeah.
Right outside the school, and there were there was a sheriff's deputy there and a local police officer. Cars parked outside.
Yep.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it was
geofencing had taken us to that location.
The geofencing did. That's right. And I that's the other thing as well. The things I learned about geofencing and about cell phones and about even cars. Okay. So if you're driving a car that's made after 2015, 16, 17, whatever, they've got their own little black box. Again, the terminology is not necessarily correct, but they've got their own little black box that records, for example, if you step on your accelerator.
Yep.
But you depress the accelerator more than like 10 degrees or something. Mm-hmm. Significant.
It'll knock down. It'll say if you're speeding, all kinds of stuff.
It records everything.
Yeah.
Every critical event, and even some not so critical. Go ahead.
We even knew where the person stood between two baseball diamonds and spoke to someone.
Yep.
Because we were sitting there looking at the band, and we were like, why would they be out there? We realized that because they could stand behind the advertising billboards and chat with whoever it is they were talking to and not be seen from the street. You know, the geofencing is... It was creepy. It was, that's how accurate it was. And basically all we had to do was track everything down. It was like having grid coordinates. Boom. Boom.
Well, we did. They were grid coordinates. Yes. And I think this is so important for people to really understand, because a lot of people don't know. And I was one of them. Look, I'm an old school detective. Hey, shoe leather is my friend, right? I mean, back, I don't want to sound ancient, but we didn't have GPS.
And you don't just walk down the center of the street, Doug, and
sit. Yeah, there it is right there. Yeah. So the effort was a lot greater. But now, if you have the contacts and the way that the way these cell phones are set up, they're dangerous. And I would recommend, folks, if you have the opportunity to ditch your cell phone, do it. Do not carry it with you wherever you go if you don't have to. Okay?
Do not accept cookies on sites, and get yourself a VPN.
Yeah.
If you're going to use your cell phone.
And speaking of cookies, do not accept cookies from anyone from the CIA. I'm telling you right now, because that individual brought half a dozen or a dozen of cookies, dozen cookies to my house.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to eat these.
Yeah, we'll get right on that.
Meanwhile,
feed them to the neighbor's dog here.
And the dog suddenly goes, I wouldn't do that. I would not do that to the dog.
No, it's just a joke.
But it was during that time that I thought it was very interesting. The timing, that whole timing too, back then, with the CIA officer, there was somebody working on the phone, telephone pole at the same time of that visit. And I thought, you know, gee, I've never seen that before. But anyway, I'm digressing
things,
too much.
The point is, things were going from bad to worse.
And there it is right now.
In our government. Yeah. It was going from bad to worse. And we didn't think it'd get any worse after that. And then Biden showed up.
Now let's talk about a different problem, if that's all right. Let me find it here. Oh, there. Okay. I thought I lost my show prep. Okay. Do I have it? what were we talking about?
How things got bad.
The auto pin.
Yes.
Eric the Tech, I think this is on.
I gotta get one of those. They pay bills, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they sign your name to stuff. Eric the Tech, I apologize for this. This is not in the show notes, but I just remembered seeing this on revolver.news. It should be, I don't know if it's the third story down now or whatever. It was published yesterday, July 14th, 2025. The title of the article is "The Auto Pen Scandal Just Took a Sharp U-Turn." There's an image on there, which you have to see. If you're listening to this only, there's a picture of the auto pen mechanism, machine, whatever. And right underneath that, yeah, we're screwed. Okay. Yeah. Now, I think there's a double meaning to that. I'll just, for the sake of this, because this is really important, and for the sake of people listening and not viewing this, The article says that the controversy about the last-minute auto pen pardons is heating up fast and furious style. Interesting turn of phrase, right? Fast and furious. How many people remember Fast and Furious? That was a government operation to arm cartels. But anyway,
you're talking about the Eric Holder job.
Oh yeah. So, you know, when you look at all these data points, even, and it may seem like we have no concept of like linear thought, but all of these data points do connect and fast. But anyway, that was an interesting turn of phrase used by the author in this. But about the auto pen, what began as little whispers in the article here and there about his mental decline, Biden's mental decline and shady late night decisions has exploded into a full blown scandal, with evidence now piling up that reveals an auto pen was used to issue sweeping pardons for high profile political figures like Fauci, Mark Milley, and every member of the J6 committee. Okay. The preemptive pardons raised a lot of eyebrows from the start, and it continues. So what's the bottom line here? Well, James Comer, Congressman James Comer, is, quote, leading the charge to find the truth. Well, we can find the truth all day long, but if we don't act on it, what good is it? What, this to say shame on you? Mm-hmm. You're in trouble now. Mm-hmm. So the update is this. As we aggressively investigate the cover-up of Biden's decline and the unauthorized use of the auto pen, I'm now demanding more Biden staffers come before Congress. Obviously, Karine Jean-Pierre, you know, KJP, the lesbianic press person, Ian Sams, Andrew Bates, and Jeff Zients. Now, these people, it's important. And this is Comer saying this. I want these people in front of us. The reason this is important, in my view, is this does expose the power structure of the decision-making process, not only under Biden, but within the deep state itself. Because you have Mark Milley. Remember, and this article, in the article, lives a TikTok posted on, at that time, Twitter, or I'm sorry, on X, not Twitter, on X, on actually the day of, or I'm sorry, July 13th of this year. Flashback, Mark Milley said he would give China a heads up if the U.S. was planning to attack, and had secret calls with China behind Trump's back, which is treason. Okay. So,
plain and simple treason,
right?
Admitted treason.
Yes. Now, the New York Times just confirmed his preemptive pardon was approved by a White House assistant and signed by auto pen, so it's void. Charge him with treason.
A White House assistant.
Yes. So think about that.
Like a doorman. It
could very well be. Well, no. You know, it's so supposedly Comer is trying to get to the truth. And of course, you know,
before they even question him, they need to warn him. See, that's the thing. If you lie to Congress, that should carry such a heavy penalty.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. People go in there and lie to Congress all the time because nobody does anything about it.
Like him or don't like him, Bannon. Well, okay, that wasn't Bannon. That wasn't what Bannon. But Roger Stone, I believe. There have been several individuals who lied to Congress and served jail time. The problem is you're looking at conservatives or people who call themselves conservatives, not anyone else.
Yep. Isn't that funny how that works? So,
yeah.
It's always somebody on the right that gets canned. The left lies for a living.
Right.
And you just don't see any penalties. We don't see anything. And that has to change. We've got to figure out how to get that to change. The left is so far out of line in this country. I mean, they're basically, I mean, look at them. They have people from that have come in from other countries, hate the United States, and are open about it, and they sit in legislative seats.
Ilhan Omar.
Yeah. How? That Rashid Tlaib.
Yep.
I would love to see her in handcuffs and out. These people should not be in Congress. There should be something in the rules about if you are anti-USA, you know what I'm saying? You have no business being in the legislative house, period.
Yep.
If you ever espoused communism, spoke about it, or said any, you know what I mean, anything about it, as far as that you were in it, that you were supportive of it, you believed in it, you should never see the inside of the Congress.
We had a national security advisor and then CIA director, Brennan.
Yes.
And remember, and folks, think back to John Brennan when he was the national security advisor for Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama, who was a construct of the IC, the intelligence community. And think back to when Brennan, what he did with respect to the passport break-in. Remember those, the break-in of the passport offices, the computer break-in. Mm-hmm. Remember that. Yeah. And but aside from that, Brennan, of course, voted for a communist for president back in 1980. And you may think, well, that's, you know, that's a lifetime ago. Maybe so, but the ideology continues through the present.
Yep.
And since you brought
and that's the guy who's in charge of the Central Intelligence Agency, most powerful intelligence agency in the world.
And he was at the epicenter of the first coup against President Trump. Okay.
Absolutely. He should be well into a prison sentence by now.
That's right. So, okay. Now, what you just mentioned brings us to another point. Boy, that we're screwed. It was so absolutely. I know that in the context of that title, it was meant for someone else. It was meant for the people who signed the pardons. But anyway, think about this. This is cut 7. It's only 30 seconds long. Think about this. Let's say you live in Minneapolis, because I mean, this is coming to a city near you. And Randy Taylor, I want to know how you, after you see this, how you feel after fighting.
Minneapolis is in the toilet.
Well, guess what? It's going to get flushed any second because we have a mayoral candidate by the name of Omar Fattah.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
30 seconds. Listen closely, especially at the end. Listen closely, inshallah.
There you go.
Yeah. Listen closely to what he's saying, because this is what the left has brought upon all of us, and some on the right, because some on the right have lost their flipping minds too, or are programmed or compromised or just greedy. Who knows? But there's problems on the left and the right. Unsustainable problems. But here's cut 7. Check this out. Mayor candidate for Minneapolis. Here it is.
We should make dua for him and pray for him and pray for him. I understand that our Somali communities are all connected to each other here in Minnesota and back home. And I ask for your support. There's always been a link between our community here as well as back home. And I'm running to bridge that gap and unite all of us and represent all of us. Because when we succeed here, we succeed everywhere. And I'm hoping to do that just like Abdurrazzaq, inshallah.
Did you catch that, inshallah? Okay.
Allah willing.
What do you think?
I'm disgusted by this. We've got to stop this crap. We've already got a problem in New York City.
Yes, we do.
We have a serious problem there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just blow that off. That is a serious problem. All right. right, and now you got a serious problem. And in Minneapolis, that place is loaded with Muslims. That's just, that guy's a shoo-in. There's a million Muslims in that stinking town.
Yep.
I'm serious. And Somalis, I mean, they had a Skinnyville there that's loaded with the skinnies, which is what... that's what the military would call the Somalis over.
Doesn't he look like that guy that pirate that took over that boat?
Yeah. The one that got shot.
Yeah.
He got shot in the movie. Shot.
In the movie, yeah. And I'm not even sure if that was an accurate portrayal or not. But anyway.
Nice shot, too.
Yeah.
But listen, this is nuts. And all of this started... up in that tri-city area.
Yep.
With Keith Ellison.
Yes. Okay?
That individual is a scourge on this country. That man is evil. I'm telling you. Look him up. Keith Ellison.
Yep.
That person's been on my list for years. That is an evil individual, and he's the one that's facilitating this. And I don't care what anybody says, he was recruiting and sending people overseas to fight for Al-Qaeda branch groups.
Yes.
Don't tell me I'm lying. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, it's you do, and that's what makes it really, really sad.
It's hard to prove. That's the point. Because if I could prove it, I would go after him. I swear to God, I'd go after him and make sure that he was in prison. He is instrumental in bringing Somalis in there and recruiting Somalis for overseas duty. I'm telling you.
Yep.
I'm not making that up.
And again, you're not going to hear any of this without anywhere. To me, it's amazing. I mean, InfoWars does a great job. Their team with deep dives, deep digs, people on the street, but very few others will give you the depth necessary to really make any kind of decision or analyze. You've got to be able to just understand what's happening, and a lot of places will not give that to you.
And you have to dig at the truth. You see that over Doug's shoulder there? It says truth.
Yeah.
Truth.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it's about. And I don't give a damn about Ellison and what he thinks. I dumb to his face.
And there you have it. All right. Now,
and people like that shouldn't be in any government positions in this country, period. Mayor, attorney generals, you know, in their states. None of that. None of that should be allowed. A guy that swears into office on a Quran.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that was allowed.
Well, the same with either Tlaib or Omar. Same thing.
That is going to be the fall of the nation. That will be what brings this country down. The people that we've allowed into making the laws. Remember that Bin Laden said that he was going to use our own laws against us to destroy us.
He didn't have a corner on that statement, but yes, he did say that.
Yeah, yes. He said it. He was very, very open about it, very point blank. He said it so matter of factly that it gave me chills to my bone, because I was always the guy that would get those before anybody else. Those speeches by Bin Laden.
Yep.
I would get those, and the FBI would have them, and all through our government before the news knew anything about it. Doug and I had already seen the video, already posted it on the website, you know, before NBC. But that's the privilege of being able to do that. But I remember when he said that, and just the chill that went down my spine. You know why? Because I knew he was telling the truth.
That when you can speak the truth, tell people the intent, your intent, or the larger objective, mm-hmm. and be unafraid. Mm-hmm. Because, again, think about this. Use rational thinking. Why would you stand up and say something like that without fear? So even back then, at that time...
At that time, Ellison was already in power, guys like him.
Yeah.
And now bear in mind, they didn't just suddenly jump into Congress. They've been filling local spots. You know, mayor this, that, and everything. I don't understand why New York would elect this jackass Muslim. Okay? Look at what happened in London when they brought in a Muslim mayor.
But that's my point. It all goes back to programming. It all goes back to behavioral modification, mm-hmm. through programming, yep. by the government, by the media. Mm-hmm. And so many conservatives are falling for it.
Yes. And another thing that's happening is Obama came out and made such a big thing about racism and being a racist, and him being a racist and all that. There was so much focus on racism that white people are afraid to speak up now.
Yeah. The white middle class.
They're destroying the white middle class. Like in Canada, they're destroying the white middle class. That's no joke. They are destroying it. They are bringing brown people in like you would not believe.
Now, in the U.S., and I'm going to toss this question out to the members of the chat. Do you think that we are experiencing any level of fatigue, whether it's black, brown fatigue, or whatever?
Remember how we used to talk about terror fatigue?
Yes.
Remember that? That was a big thing because people got it beat into the head every day. And that's what we were trying not to do. But at the same time, we had a duty to U.S. citizens and to the world, the civilized world, specify civilized, to put this out there so they knew who the enemy was, because the enemy was in their midst.
I am actually more concerned. I'm not going to say afraid, but more concerned about the enemy here than the enemy elsewhere. Yeah. I'm really not that concerned about having a nuke dropped on my head, although that's a possibility. It's always a possibility.
Isn't that funny, though, that's where you're at now? We're not afraid of someone overseas. We're afraid of what's already in our country.
That's right.
That should keep you awake at night.
But again, the problem is when you look on social media, and folks, you can see this. We don't have to play video after video. You look on social media, you have old people, young people, in between people, whatever, whites saying black, Black Lives Matter. Of course, that was but you've got them embracing murderers, rapists, saying they deserve to live in this country. In my view, you cannot chalk that up to simply being ignorant, although that's part of it. It's a conditioning. It's over time.
And with this whole immigration thing, the left is intentionally lying by saying ICE is after immigrants. They're not after immigrants. They're after illegals. It's the biggest lie being told right now, other than the Epstein case, is doing.
Right.
ICE, like the guy that crawled up on top of a greenhouse roof, fell and died. And I'm going to be an ass here. Boo. Who?
Yeah.
Why did he crawl up there to hide? And even if you come back and say, well, he was legal, which he wasn't, but you come back and say he's legal, okay, then why did you crawl up on the roof? Why? Because the left is responsible for a death. One day somebody's going to die that was actually legitimately in this country.
Right.
But here's where the fault's going to lie. Not the ICE agent that went in on the raid. Where the fault's going to lie is with the lying left and the media, who keep putting it in people's heads that ICE is going after immigrants, period. Yep. So, of course, someone might be afraid. that's legal. That's because of the left, not because of ICE. ICE is just doing their job. The left is the one out there lying. The media is the ones out there lying. These protest groups are the ones that are out there lying. ICE is after illegals and people with warrants for crime. If you're here illegally, you're a criminal. Because you know what? There's ports of entry. There's gates.
Yeah.
And they got these little things where there's little guards. And they have phones and food and water. And all you got to do is stare through the gate and sign up. But if you crawl under the fence in the middle of the night, I'm sorry, you're a criminal.
Well, it would be much like...
That's like crawling. That's like breaking into my house
or your garage. You go out at night and you find somebody in your garage. Yeah. You call the police. They get arrested for burglary.
Yes,
they didn't have to do anything, take anything.
Nope,
that's burglary.
And Doug, the United States is my house.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my house.
But again, the conditioning is, and it goes back to the coexist. Remember the coexist bumper stickers, mm-hmm. the many churches preaching tolerance. We have to be more tolerant. No, we don't. We have to be more intolerant.
Yep. And when you look at civilizations, let's just go with the ancient Mayans. Look at what happened when they allowed others into their civilization. It crumbled them.
That's right.
Because you lose sight of your own cultures and your own values. It gets blended away.
Oh.
And the United States is you know, been a really a fantastic country, you know, for over 200 years. And with certain cultures and traditions and the way we do things. And that's what keeps the United States a place where everybody wants to go. Otherwise, we wouldn't have all these jackasses sneaking in here. But the problem is when they get here, they want to change it, which makes no sense because supposedly they're leaving that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come here.
So. Yeah. Go on.
No.
Yeah.
But they bring their crap with them.
And you have to ask yourself why, if you're leaving bad conditions, why would you want those same conditions where you're going?
Women, especially Muslim women, they're abused in their countries. They come here, and then they act like they want to be abused again. What are you, stupid? it's that simple. Are you stupid? And why would you? And bring in their tribal feuds. That's the other thing. Canada, yes. It's heavy. The East Indians coming in because you've got the East Indians coming in, and then you've got these pro Khalistan, the separatists. They're feuding in Canada and killing each other.
Yeah.
So why did you bring that heat? Why did you bring it to Canada? If same people are coming into the U.S.
We'd rather fight over here than over there. You know,
yeah, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Correct.
They have oppressive governments where they come from, and then they come here and they want to try the same crap here. We don't want it. Nobody wants it. Get out.
Yeah. So again, you know. I don't think I could say this any better. All of this is about trust. Trust in the institutions in the U.S. A good piece of news, and this is cut one. Steve Gruber today. Three big things that happened. And, of course, Epstein. Big can mean good or bad, but okay. But the Epstein did rank at number three, but his take on it. So this is a minute, 4 seconds, and this kind of gives a lay of the land for today. And you may not, folks, you might not have heard maybe one or two, most assuredly three, whatever. But check this out. This is Cut One show notes, HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
The Steve Irwin Show, No Panic Zone. And here are three big things you need to know this hour. Number one, the Supreme Court dealt another blow to the left and delivered another major victory to President Trump. This time, his initiative to dismantle the Department of Education. Yeah, school's going to be out, all right. Number two, well, there is a smoking gun email proving President Biden was not in charge of the auto pen signing commutations and pardons. His chief of staff was doing that. Will this stand? And number three, first off today, an update on what everyone's talking about, and that, of course, is still the Epstein files, whatever they may be. In my opinion, the only thing that will set this right at this time is FBI Director Kash Patel coming out and saying, you know what? You're right. We need to do a complete investigation going back to square one on Jeffrey Epstein. Hold everyone accountable who we found broke the law. This is the best recourse that I can find at this time. The Democrats are screaming for the list. They know it's garbage. There may not even be a list. That's why they're screaming for something that cannot be produced.
While I don't necessarily agree with him in that last part of the speculation, I do agree with him on the accountability and transparency part, which just to be clear, in different committees in the House over the last couple of days, they've been calling, the left has been calling for the list to be made public. And of course, the phrase, the verbiage being used is incorrect, but the GOP is voting against their, I'll say, amendments. Okay. And I've got a, if you want to toss up page one, the GOP derails second Democrat effort to unearth Epstein files. What this all is. Okay, go ahead.
But that makes you wonder, what does the GOP know?
Well, okay. I agree with you on that, but all of this is posturing by the left. Okay. This is not, they're politicizing something that should not be politicized. This is one of the more transparent things. Now, while I do not agree, I would have, if I was Johnson, I would urge the House members, GOP House members, go ahead, let it go. I mean, vote with them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Be done with it.
But again, this is all posturing by the left because mm-hmm. they don't expect anything. And most assuredly, they don't think that they can influence the Department of Justice in this case. But again. No.
And they knew the right was going to fight back. It's just coming up on midterms. They want to look like they want to expose the truth.
That's right.
That's all that is. And the left knows nothing about the truth.
The left, truth, indeed.
You can't say truth and left in the same sentence. Okay,
so you're exactly right. So again, trust in institutional trust in our institutions is absent today. Now, staying with just one more time here, staying with the Epstein files, band.video, maybe two more times here. Band.video, they were talking about Bongino versus Bondi. This is cut five in the show notes. It's 2 minutes, just over 2 minutes in length. But I found this to be rather succinct, accurate, and more accurate than anything else I've heard, because there is a crap storm taking place right now. No matter how many times a social media influencer would say, hey, it's all worked out, don't worry about it, Bongino and Patel, everything is fine. Everything's fine. You know, they're lovey-dovey with Bondi, and it's all good. It's not.
That's why I can't stand the influencers. I don't like them.
And you know, people say, well, give us names. All you have to do is look at whoever's holding up a white binder at the White House and then defending their actions and not doing a mea culpa. Okay, that's just, and guess what? I've lost a lot of respect. What little respect I had, because these people are making a lot of money just a ton of money.
As yes men, and deliberately yes, so. The administration brought them in and made sure that these yes men were on their side.
And this is why, and I got some hate mail, or a piece of hate mail email from one of these influencers telling me to, I won't even say what they told me to do, but it's anatomically impossible. But let's play this cut five. Again, it's just over 2 minutes. And if you want to, there's other stuff, but here's, I mean, it goes
anatomically impossible. Like
that's correct. Yes. Yes. But oh, I took it under advisement.
Okay. Better yet. Oh, boy.
But here's cut five. And I want to hear your thoughts afterwards. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay.
All right. I don't just go off this breaking Daily Mail article and just believe them. I have a lot of sources. I made some phone calls this morning. Indeed, Trump is looking at a special counsel. You saw him earlier in a press conference say he's telling Bonnie to release whatever's there. The Daily Mail now reporting exclusive. Trump's FBI boss, Dan Bongino, who was going to resign over the weekend, escalates Epstein feud with Pam Bondi with bold plan to address failures and the lack of credibility and transparency. He says he wants a press conference and have everything released and to basically give people a roadmap of what is going to be released. So while the deputy director has many significant operations underway that he finds very important to see through, he does plan to continue to fight for transparency, accountability for failures, the Epstein saga, including a press conference from the attorney general to explain discrepancies in communication directly to the American people. The Justice Department did not respond to request. And so Patel, for his part, dispelled conspiracies that he was also considering a departure from the department's botched handling of the review. Look, I saw her tell the truth about the hidden stuff in New York they raided and got from the FBI that the Democrats controlled. And so then I saw them go deer in the headlights a few months ago and say, it's all over, nothing happened, go away. So I'm not sure who the bad guys and the good guys are here. Are they just wanting Pam Bondi to go on air and embarrass herself?
I think it was true what she said. She had the files, and now they're trying to run cover. And I think this is all just a bunch of bullshit to keep us confused. They're not giving us anything. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong about that, but I don't think they're giving us anything.
Well, I'm not telling Trump how to do a cover-up. At War Game, this listeners go, oh, my God, he's for a cover-up. No, I just said, if you're going to cover up and say, yeah, we're investigating, why come out and say he killed himself, the Easter Bunny's real, Santa Claus is real, there was no foreign intelligence, there were no victims, you know, basically, Jeffrey Epstein was a model citizen. Why would you do that unless you had a deal with people blackmailing you to say that?
That's what I think's happening. They cut a minute out of the footage they released. How crazy is that? Here's the footage with a minute cut out of Epstein's thing.
And then it's from around the corner of the cell bay.
But yeah, the cameras went out. The guys fell asleep. It's clearly all bullshit. But the people's waking up. The awakening's happening. I don't know what
We can wake up all day long. The important part of this, RT, and then you can comment on that. The important part, I think, is when that gentleman said, look, it's the cause, it's to create confusion. So people don't know what or who the hell to believe.
Distraction, dog and pony show.
Well, that's, yes, that's another aspect to that. But yeah, so the bottom line is, who do you believe? Do you believe Bongino? Do you believe Bondi? Do you believe Trump? Do you believe the media? Do you believe? That's intentional. That is done with intent. That's my
belief. And very effectively.
Yes.
Because very, 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 very effectively.
Because then you start saying, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. I don't know who to believe. That goes back to the programming, which we are all being victimized. We're all being victims. We're all victims of this programming.
Whether we agree to it or not.
Right.
It's happening. Right. And then you go with the 24-hour news cycle, and they're just sitting there pounding it into your head.
Yeah.
Pounding it into your head.
And yeah, I find it interesting that we have people, you and I have people that we generally agree with. Now look, we'll play something from, I don't know, a congressman or a senator or something, and they're dead nuts right. I mean, correct in what they're saying in that moment. But that same person may be 100% deceptive in another topic. Okay. So again, I think this is a deliberate scheme. When I look at this, and I don't know about you, but I look at this and I'm thinking the intelligence community as a whole, the Five Eyes plus, they're all involved in this. And what is this? This is the push toward this complete takeover of our planet.
Yep. The end game.
The end game. That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And when we throw things out on the show, there's a lot of supposeds.
Yeah.
Remember that. And we will always question. I don't care who you are. We're always going to question. You know, it's like, I voted for Trump.
Yeah, I did too. I mean,
now I have questions. And that doesn't mean that I'm an anti-Trump person. It means I have questions.
I think we have integrity.
Yes.
Because if we didn't have questions, we wouldn't be true to ourselves. Do we trust blindly? The only person I trust blindly in person is a not the right term here is
the Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go. Okay. Beyond that, no one else gets a pass.
Right. And especially when things don't make sense.
And when
you have to ask, right. We're not sheep. This is not.
That's right.
We're not blind sheep that just to the slaughter. No.
And we cannot be whores. Okay. And if you're, I don't want people to be offended by that, but I'm talking about the people who will sit there and make their money on Twitter or X clicks or Facebook clicks or stay, have a political format on CommieTube, YouTube, where you know they cannot say if they believe, if they believe in a conservative government or if they believe in pro-life, they wouldn't be on YouTube. Okay. So they avoid the topics or somehow manage to get around them. But I'm amazed at the number of people who are still on YouTube.
Yeah, but they're candy coated. They're not digging at anything. They're not getting to any real truth.
No,
they're not.
They wouldn't be on YouTube.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They call themselves a young conservative. Well, yeah, you certainly are. Conservative with the truth. You know, try telling said. The truth, and you're not going to be on there very long.
Well said. And
those are whores. Those are prostitutes.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
We know their price.
Well, we know what they are. We're just arguing over there. We're just trying to figure out what their price is. But apparently you can make
We know they can be bought, put it that way.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. One last thing here. And this I found to be very true because it's not piling on President Trump, but it is, again, calling out what we asked for. And what we were promised, we're not getting.
The mandate.
Right. Cut 9, and this is Marjorie Taylor Greene. No more foreign wars. We're moving toward World War III. Yes, will it happen tomorrow? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I'm not staying awake over it. And this is about providing Ukraine with the weapons, which is the wrong way to go. And you mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's cut 9. It's we'll just play a couple of minutes of this cut 9 and because we're getting toward the end of the show. And now I want to hear your comments after this. Cut 9, we'll stop it early. Go ahead.
Americans overwhelmingly voted in November for President Trump. And one of the reasons why they support President Trump is no more foreign wars and United States not being involved in Ukraine, in Middle East. And this was something that was cheered for at rallies. And I know that because I went to more rallies than any member of Congress. And in my speeches, talked about no more funding, no more weapons to Ukraine. And they cheered and cheered and cheered. So it's I think this is a departure from what we voted for, to see the president announce that he wants to sell American military weapons to NATO, and then NATO give these weapons to Ukraine. And there's some important things to talk about there, Alex. Number one, Ukraine is not a member of NATO, so there's no reason for NATO to be defending Ukraine. Number two, we are one of the largest funders of NATO. And so if NATO is purchasing military weapons from the United States, the American people are paying for it because we are the largest funder of NATO. And, you know, we have so many problems, Alex. My kids are 22, 25, and 27. And the biggest issues plaguing 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, and even 40-year-olds is the fact that housing is unaffordable, rent is unaffordable, insurance is unaffordable, bills are unaffordable. We have a drug crisis and homeless crisis in America, and we have a mental health crisis. And you know, the young people today are looking towards a future that seems hopeless. And if we're moving towards World War III by escalating the war in Ukraine, by providing them offensive, not only defensive, but offensive weapons, I think this is the wrong direction for President Trump. I think it's the wrong direction for America. And the American people showed their support for no more U.S. involvement by their cheers and boos in the rallies. And never forget the rally in South Carolina, Pickens, South Carolina, where Lindsey Graham was literally booed off the rally stage in his own hometown because he has been the leader in the Senate and here in Washington, D.C., dragging America into involvement in Ukraine. And I can't express that loud enough. And so I think this is a major issue to pay attention to, Alex.
Okay, you can cut that.
It's not
so
wrong.
Linda Graham, of course, you know.
Never met a war he didn't like.
Exactly. So
he's a war whore. I call him that on Twitter.
War whore.
He's a war whore. That's exactly what he is.
Amen to that. So all of this combined, I don't think you can separate the actions of our leadership. I don't think the actions of our leadership, you cannot separate the various controversies, including Epstein, from Epstein to NATO, or to the foreign wars, to funding Ukraine's involvement. We can't separate this out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
this reminds me when NATO went into Libya. Remember?
Oh yeah.
The U.S. was behind that all the way. It was all U.S. equipment, this and that. But they were very, very clear that this was a NATO operation. You know what I'm saying? This NATO is, I don't know, like a card. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So you're giving this stuff to NATO, and then they turn around and give it to Ukraine.
It's a card. It's a card that American citizens, taxpayers, are paying for.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And he did promise no more wars.
Right.
And then boom, we had a strike in Iran. You know, this is.
And have you heard him talking about Putin lately?
No.
It ain't kind.
So no, he was supposed to be Putin's pal. You know, when I get in, I'll have a talk with Putin and this will end. I mean, that's basically the way he laid it out to us.
And now he's saying, hey, I talked to Putin and we had a great conversation, except afterwards, the missiles start flying, you know, and Putin starts firing missiles. Okay.
Yeah. We got lied to on some things, folks. Like it or not, you know, you can't sit there and just hide your face in a MAGA pillow and ignore what's going on. We have the right to some answers to some questions.
That's correct. Before we lose time and get cut off here, Eric the Tech, did you hear anything about tomorrow? You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so we'll just have RT and I tomorrow. And I think what we need to do, RT, with your permission, we're going to take one topic and just drill down and produce exhibits that we can back up. And the topic, in fact, will be, we'll have a lot of depth to it. How's that sound?
Okay. Are we going to tell them what the topic is?
No. I think we should.